Good morning. Just welcome to everybody here today and new faces. I know this is a time where people transition from cities or schools and so on. And I want to thank you for coming out tonight, today. I would love to, we'd love to get to know you and hear your heart and your story. And yeah, I trust God that He will show you whether this is the community God wants you to be a part of. There are many amazing churches in the city, and we're one of them. And we'd love you to be part of this, but know that God has a place for you. Amen? Amen. So today we have a whole lot of stuff that we're going to be going through. And with regards to what is going to be happening in the next few months. And this morning as I was going over it, I just felt God remind me of a few things. Because what we need to understand, and I believe, and you heard that, I'm glad that we sang that song about Jesus and His kingdom, because we've got to remember, we need to remind ourselves all the time that what this is about. You see, the church is not just meant to be a community, a self-fulfilling community where people are loved, forgiven, and accepted. Yes, they are, and if you see our statement of faith, our vision statement, should I say, on the wall there, you will say, we are wanting to be a gathering, healing, training, and sending church. And so it's like a conveyor belt that you come in. You come in and we gather. And the church is very good at gathering. And it's important because people need to be loved, cared for, and accepted. People need to know of the mercy of God and the redemption of God in their lives. And so the gathering is to include people that we invite in, the lost, the hurting, friends that we invite in, but also the saints, where we come together like today and be encouraged in the Word of God. The healing part of this is a mission statement and a vision that God, I believe, gave us before we actually arrived in Canada. We arrived in 96, and as we were going, we were praying, God gave us some key scriptures through people, through apostolic ministry, and as we were praying, we felt that this is what represents us well. It took a while to articulate it into those four words, okay? It took a while, but that was the heart of this church. The healing part is obviously many people need physical healing, and we believe in the power of God, and we want to see people set free by the power of God. Amen? How many of you believe Jesus still heals? Amen. Well, according to your faith, so be it. But it's not only physical healing. There are many people that have been hurt in life. Unfortunately, many that have been hurt by the church over time. And so we want to be a place where people can come and be restored. Restored. Restoration is an amazing word because restoration speaks of taking something old and broken and making it new. And if you've ever seen somebody like my friend Larry restore an old beat-up car, how many of you have seen those cars in the fields? Just lying in scrap and you say, jeez, that's ugly. Well, to a person like Larry, that's an opportunity. And I tell you, you must see the work. How many of you know restored cars actually look better than they were the ones that came off the production floor because they're personally done. And that's what God does to us. He makes all things new. He makes us new, but He makes us new for a purpose. And so the next step is to be trained and equipped. A new city, this catechism, I had the privilege of preaching in a church in San Francisco about a year ago, and that's where I was introduced to this by Rick Martinez, and they were running it, and it just gripped my heart. And I've been waiting, I'm not very a patient person, but for the right time in God to launch this thing, and we believe that's now. But training, we have the Bible school, we have connect groups and so on, but everything is for a purpose. And this is what we need to be aware of, because we can become so in love with each other, so in love with meeting together that we forget that this is about the ones that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves them. He cares for them unconditionally. And if it wasn't for somebody reaching out to me, In my hour of need, I don't know whether I'd be here today because I was a huge skeptic. And Barna will say, it's an amazing thing, some of the statistics, he writes statistics on the Church of the North America, and I don't know them offhand, but about 4 or 5% of the people come to a church because of the preaching. Preachers, we're not as important as we think we are. But it goes through a list, and it says that I think it's 70% or so come, will join a church and give their heart to the Lord through a personal relationship that, with someone that they love and trust. And often it's a journey, and it can take years and years and years. And you might be just one part of that journey, but you have been commissioned by God to advance the kingdom. So everything we do, because James says this in James chapter 1, I need to get to my notes sometime, otherwise we're going to run out of time. I'm on a strict time zone now. But James says this in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word preached or read and so deceive yourselves. So what is the deception in the church? The deception is this, that we sometimes feel because we've heard it, because we've come on a Sunday and because we've worshiped God and this is so important that we're actually living it out. Can you see that? It's a deception that we have more knowledge, that we can learn more about Jesus Christ. But if it isn't outworked, if we aren't doing what the Word tells us to do, James says it's a deception. He says it's like looking in a mirror. Now, the mirrors now, Paul talks about a mirror being like a poor reflection. Well, I want to tell you, in those days, they aren't like the mirrors that they have today. I often in the morning wish I had a mirror like they had then when I see my face first thing in the morning. But it's a deception. Those mirrors were just metal that had been polished. And you can imagine looking in this metal, you just see this little shadow of who you are. But he says it's like looking in that mirror and then forgetting who you are. And God wants us to be equipped for works of service. And my heart in this, for this church, in this next season, in this next year, is that we don't just simply grow the church for the sake of growing the church, but we grow the church for impact, to have an impact in the city, because the kingdom of heaven needs to advance. The church is not the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the king. Ephesians 3:10 says the church is the kingdom through which the church is the vehicle through which the kingdom comes. It says his was intent that was through the church. So the church, God has no plan B in advancing the kingdom. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to mankind. It's through the church. And the church is not a building. The church is not a gathering. The church is people made up of individual people, blood-washed saints who gather together, who work together, who encourage one another, and who go from this wonderful huddle in the middle of our game called life, and we go out there and we advance the kingdom. And if we understand that everything we do, all training and all equipping is for works of service, service in the body and service without. There are no Monday morning quarterbacks in the kingdom. There are people that are on the ice, on the field, engaged to the best of their ability, being encouraged and equipped by others. Amen. Amen. So, on that basis, I'm going to say we're going to share a few things that are what are happening in the life of the church, and we would love you to be involved. God, the biggest threat to the kingdom of darkness, I believe, is not more gifted teachers, not more gifted preachers, not more gifted anything like that, and we need them and they're important, but the biggest threat to the kingdom of darkness is when the priesthood of all believers realize who they are in Christ, realize the authority that they have, and go and be the salt and light of the world. That's when the world will change. If we wait, amen, yeah. Thank you. Hey, that's sounding more like Africa now. That's when the world will change. You are the light of the world, the word of you. The light has come within you, and God wants it to shine through you. How do we do that? Through word and through deed. We become salt and light. And so everything that we are talking about is to get us to a place where the city knows that we exist. And the question we need to ask ourselves, and it's a scary question as a leader, if Oceanside closed tomorrow, would the city miss us? And I lead this, but I'm talking us because the church is people. Would the city miss us? I pray that one day that we have such an influence. And when I influence this opposition and all things went on, you look at Paul's life when he turned cities upside down. Because the enemy does not want us to advance the kingdom. The enemy has one purpose once you're saved. Once you're saved, I believe you're always saved. Now we can argue about that if you want to, but that's what I believe. Amen. Problem is, are you saved in the first place? Am I saved in the first place? And we laugh at that question, but Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them. And so it's not just salvation, it's a whole different story. Maybe I'll talk about that next week because we need to understand the process that God takes us through. But I'm secure in the fact that you are saved. And that I am saved. But once we have been, once we've come into the kingdom of heaven, we become, where's that one that says, what's our only hope in life and death? It says that you are not your own. And we will see that when we go on from here. But if we, at the end of the year, just know this catechism, and we'll go through it a little bit more, just know a little bit more knowledge. And we haven't walked it out. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to talk about, containment. So the enemy's strategy for your life and for a church as a whole is this. If this is our influence at the moment, this little stage, personally and physically, corporately, outside there, if this is it, he is quite happy. He has lost the battle for my soul. He's lost it. God is able to keep me. He's lost that battle. But he is happy if my influence just stays the same. As soon as I, in my heart and in my mind, or my wife or my family or the church say, we want to advance the kingdom, and we step out of this into a new realm, all hell breaks loose. And what happens to us and what happens to the church normally is we are scared back into our box. And we come to a place of peace again. Oh, this is so great, man. Why is it when we think we're stepping out for God, we're doing something wrong when opposition comes? We need to expect it, but understand the authority and the power that we have in Jesus, that it's not about us, it's all about Him. And that in Him we can do all things. And so in this world, the way it's going, church, it's time for us to arise, to start in our Jerusalem, to start in this city, in this nation, to be salt and light, to lay down our lives. You see, that's what it means to be part of a kingdom. Your kingdom come. How? By your will being done. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. That's how the kingdom comes. The kingdom does not come in any area where our will is not submitted to His will, corporately and individually. That's what it is. So I am excited about what God is doing in the life of the church. And with that in mind, I would like to bring up Mark and Dina Manfredi quickly. Got a few things. And give them a hand. Now, this wonderful couple are coming back onto the eldership team officially. Mark is our resident teacher, and I want him to tell you a little bit about his story, so I can have a sip of water.
Hi, I'm Gina, and we have been at Oceanside now, I think this is our 10th year, but we had been gone for a little bit. So when I first met Mike and Deb, I don't know, Mike, if you remember this, but I sat on their porch and cried. And I said, I'm never going to be a leader again. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by people, and I just won't do it again. But because of Mike and Deb and because of Oceanside, I can be up here and know that God loves me, and I can be me, and that God can work through me regardless of who I am. And this church is a very special church, and we're very glad to be part of it.
So nice of you to clap. I think we're kind of like a boomerang. You know, you throw it out there hoping it's gone and it shows back up again. But we've been part of Oceanside for about 10 years, and when we came, we were very broken, as Dina said, out of a very difficult situation, really having no hope for the church or anything in our future. But God was gracious for those first couple of years. We just came and worshiped, had no expectations on us, and just saw the church functioning. Just felt the love of God and the reality of church, and our hope started to grow again. And there was healing that God did in those first couple of years, and had opportunity to kind of take more responsibilities as time went along. And over a couple of years, ended up on the leadership team again, and was a great privilege. I saw eldership at that time in a way that I never had seen it before in different contexts. The reality of a biblical team that submits together and works in the local church was just huge for me. But a couple years ago, it just felt like I wanted to be able to continue my education, and sort of had this dream or this feeling like maybe I was to move into a Bible school context or a seminary context as a teacher. So I went back and we did a year of school. As some of you know, we moved over to Surrey. That was our year of purgatory. And thinking probably that we weren't going to come back. You had a great farewell party for us, and we all cried and gave each other hugs. But I tell you what, in that year, as I got involved in some of the seminary community and the Bible school community in the mainland, our hearts just longed for this city and for this church. And there's lots of ways you can define the calling of God in your life. I believe we all have a call of God to a sphere of influence, but the best definition I have for the calling of God is that which keeps calling you. And, you know, we just couldn't get it out of our hearts. And so we said, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. We've moved over there. We've got all this stuff going on with some of these things over there. But we need to come back. So we came back a year ago, and just was so great to be immersed back into this family and just, you know, connected and felt like God was doing things in our life, and had the opportunity to start up with Mike and the team, the Bible school, which has been a great joy for me just personally. And now to be asked back on eldership is a great opportunity. So we just want you to know that this is a place of healing. And it is a place of training. We have come through for 10 years, people that were deeply, deeply wounded. And, you know, come to a place where God has given us grace and ability to be able to minister and just to be part of what God's doing. So we're glad to be back, and thank you.
Well done. Thank you. Let me just pray for this, yeah. Just reach out your hands. You know what? Being on a leadership with people that you know and you trust, and that are committed not only to the church, but to the King and the Kingdom, makes it so much worthwhile. And Mark and Dina, I'm so excited. And thank you for stepping up again. I know it's only work, and there's a lot of, you know, you've counted the cost. And I want to thank you guys for stepping up. It's a privilege. 10 years. Mark and Dina, I remember that time on the deck, I never knew them before that, and they had led a church in northern Alberta, and that more than was likely why they were crying when they came here. They were leading a church there, and with Staxwin or something, and with Tasquin, and came and heard about us through some other people, New Covenant Ministries, and sat on our deck and were just wiped out leading this community. It was just, pray for leaders, man. They go through a lot. And I remember that. And So our hearts, I remember saying to them, listen, there's two things. We will help you no matter what. But you need to work out in your heart whether you're called to lead a church or not. Because if you're not and you do, it will kill you. But if you are, we will walk through. And they went away for 2 weeks, and I expected them. And I said, we'll come up to Alberta and help them. And I expected that to be the answer. And I got this call, I think, from the ferry lineup, was it, or somewhere. And he said, listen, we've worked this out. We just took over this church. We don't believe it was God called us to do. So we're going to hand it over, but not only this, we're going to relocate to the island from there. And they've been with us ever since. So God joins us, puts us in family. Mark is in the process of getting his doctorate, doing his thesis. The Bible school is something that we're putting online so that we can help churches around the world learn the Bible. So Romans will be the first one that we'll actually be doing online. So thank you, Mark, and God bless you. Thank you. Where's Katie? So I would just love to, for you of you, to introduce the elders. I thought about it, me of you. So if Paul and Katie could come up, and I'd just love to introduce. Yeah. Just a little history. Paul came in here as a, what, about 17, 18? 18-year-old young man, joined the life of this church, and like a normal teenager, he had some stuff we needed to work through, but I instantly recognized the call of God upon his life, and I let him tell you the story, but he's the longest serving elder outside of me on this team, and is that right? Yeah. And Katie, this is an amazing story. Met Katie and her family in South Africa. They were working in a place called the Transkei, and this is in the 80s and early 90s, where no white people wanted to go except crazy American missionaries. And met Katie when she was about 10 years old or so, or 12, and have developed a lifelong friendship with and partnership with her and her family. And they went to plant a church in Brazil. Katie spent time there with her family. And God drew her back. Yes, God used this young man to draw her back here. But I don't care what God uses. But they got married. And so this is a history. This is a history with Katie and her family that go back many, many years. And to be working with them on team is an amazing privilege. So. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, just perspective for you guys, young and old. God has a call on all of our lives. He had a call on mine, and God radically changed my life at a young age. As Mike's prefaced, I was a ragtag teenager, 18, kind of lost, trying to find my way, and God radically grabbed a hold of me and gave me vision and purpose. Right away, birthed something for the nations, and that's right, I met Katie in Brazil, just chasing some of that dream and passion. God made a way. I met Katie, and it took a long time to convince her to marry me, but it happened. Yeah. She did it. Praise the Lord. There's faith.
Yeah.
You know, it's been an absolute privilege to be a part of this community. I think if we trust God, and he's trustworthy, it's amazing to see what he'll do in our lives. And he brings us from immaturity to maturity. And we're all on a journey, and we're all learning and growing. And I'm still learning and growing and trusting that God has an incredible future for us and our family as we grow. So it is a privilege to be a part of this team.
Yeah, it is definitely just a privilege. I've been up here now 2 years. We got married about 2 years ago and have just fallen head over heels for this church community. I love you guys like family. You are my family, away from family here, and I'm so excited just for what God has ahead. So excited, almost emotional this morning, just with everything in the launch. It just feels like a new season, and God is so good and so faithful to lead us forward. So very keen to be here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's give him a hand. So, Mark's responsibility is overseeing all the training, Bible studies, doctrinal stuff. I love that stuff myself, and so, you know, he's the guy that helps us stay on track, and if you have any questions, don't ask me, ask him. He knows what he's doing, talking about for sure. But Paul's and Katie's primary role is to oversee the Connect groups and the Focus groups now. It's a new season for them. And so if you have any questions, they're building a team under them, around them. Do you want to tell a little bit about your team?
Sure, I believe God works in team. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God is team. He demonstrates it well. So for us in this season, we value team, and we want to make space for people in their giftings. Johan and Rennell, you guys want to give us a wave over there?
Stand up.
Oh, actually, yeah. Stand. Yeah, that's probably better. Yeah. There we go. They play a significant role in this team. They're coming from an administrative aspect of just helping us facilitate growth and impact, coming from a number side of making sure that we're doing everything we can to impact this city and to get us connected. When you guys have heard Mark and Dina over here, they are helping from the doctrinal side, and they're helping with the New City Catechism stuff that we're going to be launching. They're going to be providing materials for our groups, coming alongside our groups, and just helping us grow in maturity as God takes us forward. So this is the team we're building. We're trusting for big things, and we're trusting that our team grows and that our Connect groups get connected and have impact in our city. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much. So Russ and Glenn, they are on eldership with us, and if you'd like to come up, that'll be to tell you a little bit of history and context. Is wonderful. Just a little bit of history and context. It's all good for everything. Middle of last year, a church in Victoria, Trinity Christian Center, which is a significant church in the city, was looking for a new lead guy. And I was asked to be part of that process. Ivor Lewis, who was leading that church, personal friend, also going back many, many years. And in that process, people from all over the world were, because we relate to a team in 60 countries, were considered. And last July, or no, September, when was it? September, last September, I was in at an apostolic conference in Denver, and Ivor was there, and I basically said, "So, Ivor, where are you with that?" And he said, "You know, Mike, I just can't find with the eldership, we just can't find the right fit. Every gifted guys, anointed guys, but it just didn't feel right." And I knew in my heart that that person was Mark DeToy. And I didn't want to say that for two reasons. Number one, I felt the church needed to go through that process. But I went back to my room, and Deborah was there. And I said, "You know, Deborah, Ivor's told me the right fit just hasn't been here." And some of the guys were at this conference. They were speaking to the eldership team. And I said, "I really feel it's Mark DeToy. But with our schedules and with the work that he does in this church and how much he's loved, blah, 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 I don't know whether I can release him." So my darling wife said this, "So you want to be God in his life?" And with that, I picked up the phone under the fear of God. And said, "Ivor, can I meet you?" I went and met him and Jackie for a coffee. And my thought was, they'd say, "Yeah, thanks, Mike, that's great, but we'll consider it." And then I'd be free. But what happened is, "Are you serious?" Because they've known Mark, they've known us, and man, we feel he could be it. So I said to them, "Unless you are 80% sure, because I know there's a process, I'm not going to set Mark up. Hope deferred makes a heart sick." And I'm telling you, within 2 days, they came back. Yes, yes. And so in that process, I was thinking, wow, that's going to leave a big, because we build away from ourselves, we talk a bit about my role, that's going to leave quite a hole. At that time, I had a friend of mine from South Africa ministering here, Grant Crawford, one of the guys that I admire and look to. And I was telling Grant, man, geez, you know, Mark, I've released Mark. In 6 months' time, he's going to go. I don't know who's going to fill that spot and so on, because it's important that was important for me that somebody that could help and understand the vision of where we're going. And Grant said, I think I have the couple for you. And we talked about them. I'd never met them. And it was Russ and Glenn. And they were the administrators of a church. And I want to tell you, this is not, that church is 5,000 or 6,000 people strong. And they left that to come and be with us to help us on this journey.
God knows my heart, and I can really honestly say that we've been privileged to come to something better than what we left. Because you see, whatever season God moves us into, it's better than the season that we left. And so I tell you, folk, our hearts are really tender this morning as well, just hearing Paul and Katie. We've been here now 7 months or so, or 8 months or 9 months. Time's flown so quickly. Some people in a natural family are born and they live in their natural family for 13, 14, 15 years and still don't feel like family in their own family. In this spiritual family, my biggest testimony to the love of God over our lives is how you guys have displayed your love to us as family. And we're just so grateful for that and want to say thank you for that. We come not with everything all in and all our ducks in a row, and our biggest sense of weakness is probably the least of what some of you have. But God is strong, and he's brought us alongside, and we're so privileged to be part of Oceanside on this journey, and so thankful. And just in me, there's just such an excitement and a passion, because I don't only feel a sense of what God is doing now is wonderful. Just see with eyes of faith and vision that God has got so much more. And to be part of that in this continent, on this island, in this country, is just a real sense of privilege for us. And so all we want to say is thank you. Thank you so much.
I just want to say that I was down with the children in our launch of children's church and children's worship this morning, and it was fantastic. We had like 43 kids, and they were all doing actions and involved and singing, so it really was fantastic. And there are about 11 kids in the nursery this morning, and I'm just excited about what God's doing in this new season. And we don't want to call it Sunday school anymore. We're starting to call it Children's Church. So that's brilliant. And I love being part of Oceanside. So it's a privilege to be here.
Wonderful. Great. Russ, if you could just stand up here. As you see, part of the sending, yeah, you're all welcome to stand here. But, you know, future leaders, eh? Future leaders. Why have I got two of these? So, over the next 2 months, if you're new here, this is a church on a mission. We want to make an impact not only here in the nations. I'll speak a little bit about that. But in the next 2 months, we have a team that leaves tomorrow for India. We have a team that's going to go to the Congo. And then we've got a team that's going to Australia, which I will head in. Russ is heading up the India one, Johan van Rensburg, the Congo one, and I'm heading up the Australian one. And they leave tomorrow. So, Russ, if you could call your team up.
Great. So, Nathan, Meg, and Nancy, would you like guys like to come up? Isn't this exciting, hey? This is family on mission. Come and join me. Also, just want to say, Mark Englewin is also part of the team. If you know Mark, come and stand up here, guys. But Mark has already left, and he's down in Seattle for this weekend, and we're meeting him there on Sunday. There we go. That's the Motley crew. So I just want to say one thing, folk. When we're looking at mission, and it's very easy for us to fall into the trap of when we're going into a place, especially like India and Nepal, where there's so much needs, it's a third world country. There is the reality of that, all in all. But do you know what? My confidence and my faith and my trust and my hope is this, is that as we go back, we learn lessons that we bring back into this context. India is not a poor nation in terms of spiritual, in terms of where God at move in people. And so we are going, yes, to give. But also I'm trusting back that as we come back, there can be some of the sending, but also some of the training that takes place in our lives. And we come back and trust for an enrichment over the life of this church through what has taken place in India. God wants to teach us lessons. God wants to take us on that journey as well as sowing into that nation. So that's absolutely exciting. I'll just give you a couple of ideas where we're going, and then I'll hand over to the guys if they want to say something. But we're going into New Delhi, city of 18 million people in a area of about 55 square kilometers, so it's fairly jam-packed. There is a church that we have a relationship and which we were part of the eldership team for 7 years in New Delhi, and we'll be visiting that church. Also then going up to a place called Missouri, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas. It's a small town, probably about 25,000-30,000 population, but a gateway city into the Himalayas, and there is an NCMI-relating church up there led by a fantastic couple, Indian couple called Raman and Kiran Kapoor. And we're going to be involved in the life of that church, leading their Sunday meeting, other meetings during the week. We'll be up there for about 5 days, returning back to Delhi, and then we'll be flying to Nepal, Kathmandu, which is above India. And Nepal, as you know, has been a country that is mixed religion, a lot of Buddhism influence, a lot of Hindu influence, and there's a group of about 7 to 8 churches there, which are NCMI-relating churches, which is amazing. Folk, just think, these are folk that have the same vision and values, in essence, that you're sitting and I'm sitting here with and are partnering together. So the beauty of this and what we're looking at is different to just relief. We are going into situations where there's apostolic linking of arms. And we can trust that through that time there can be strengthening and equipping. There will be an equip time up there, 3 days equip, where there's leaders coming from all of the outlying districts into Kathmandu. And then there's going to be a one-day youth equip after that. And then we'll come back to Delhi and fly out. So that's in a nutshell the trip. But I'll hand over to the guys to say anything they want to.
I just want to say I've had a few people tell me that they've been praying for the trip already and that they'll be praying for us. And this past week, just talking about stepping out, I guess, and the things that come has health-wise been the worst it's been in I don't know how long. I've had all sorts of things show up and really, really been like, at one point I was like, am I going to be able to go kind of thing, you know? And then, but I just felt such a peace. And even the last minute preparations, I've just felt no panic. And I really feel like it's just the prayers of the people. So thank you. I just want to say thank you so much and keep going. Because there's all sorts of challenges to face in this next little bit. So
that's really all I can say too, is just thank you in advance for your prayers. Thank you for the prayers you've already been praying. And aside from the preparation, that always causes me anxiety. But the trip itself, I feel a total peace about the trip also. So thank you very much. I'll miss you guys.
Yeah, just echo the same things. I was just going to add that September 26th or so, the rest of the team heads back to Nanaimo, and Megan and I have an opportunity to stay in Nepal for another couple of weeks. Certain areas have been hit by some flooding, and so Megan and I have an opportunity to go and help in other parts within Nepal. And then after that, we'll be flying back to India, and then eventually, about the 22nd of October, we'll be heading into Africa, and then we'll meet up with Johan and some other NCMI people. We'll be going into Bujumbura, and then also into the Congo to the orphanage, the Grace Orphanage. So yeah, we've had, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, the other churches are from Johannesburg in that area. We'll be meeting us there. Yeah, and yeah, I guess that part too. Then in November, there's lots. You can see I've been planning things going everywhere. But then as well, In November, Megan and I will have the opportunity to go to Cornerstone Church as well in Johannesburg, and then we'll be flying to Pietermaritzburg and NCF, and we'll be there for about a week and a half, and then back to Johannesburg, and then eventually home. So, yeah, going everywhere. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. So if we could just stand, let's just reach out our hands, and I'm just going to pray corporately for them. Please remember their faces, their prayers. Pray for them. And I just want to say happy birthday, Nancy, from Deborah. It's her birthday today, tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, that we are seeing our dream come true as a church that wants to be a base that impacts the nations of the world. And I thank you, Lord God, for these gifts that we sent. Lord God, I know that they will be a blessing there, that they will love the people and encourage them, Lord. And we look forward to a continued and strengthened divine partnership, apostolic partnership with the churches in India and Nepal. Lord, we thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon them on this trip, and we look forward to good report. Protect their health. We claim the covenant blessing of Psalm 91, the Psalm of protection, the Psalm where you command your angels concerning them, that you go before them, the flights and everything, Lord, the food, that they will come back rejoicing because of an amazing time in with your people. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So for me, part of being a member of this church means you get a passport. You want to join this church, I want to make sure you got a passport, because we want to send you somewhere sometime. And so we can't work in every country around the world, but we are looking for divine partnerships. God has given Deborah and I such favor in Australia. I don't know why, but we have such incredible favor, and we will be in 6 or 7 churches and doing a conference in Melbourne with the team. We'll talk more about that. But we want to build with these churches. Kiran, Puran, that leads the church in Kathmandu, and Raman in Northern Ireland, these are mighty men of God, and I'm hoping and praying that we will be able to bring them here to be a blessing to us. You know, it's one of the things that we can do with third world, the thing wrong, is treat them as second class Christians or citizens just by nature. But when we show them dignity and see that we're in an apostolic partnership, that they have, in fact, more than us to give. I've been to places where you preach the gospel in Africa and people get saved and you tell them that Jesus heals and sets free. They don't argue about what the Word of God says about healing and deliverance and all of those kind of things. They just do it. And the next year you go there and they say, well, you know, we've done this. So what have you done? Well, that guy risen from the dead. That person was set free from demons and all of that. And they say, so what's next? And you go, you get out your camera and let me take a picture of this. And you go back. And we don't. We've got to believe that for here. So we've got a lot to learn about the supernatural. They understand the dark side. And when they come into the light, they understand the genuine power of God being released through people. So Deborah's not here today. She's in Alberta visiting her family, having a rest. My family, our family, and our grandchildren. And sends her love. I spoke to her extensively. But just a little bit about our story so you understand. We've been relating to this team for 30 years. And seeing God, it's not a team, NCMI. You can go on into, you can read a whole lot of lies about NCMI and a whole lot of good about NCMI. You want to count for God, you're going to get that. But for me, all it is a band of brothers that want to, and sisters, that want to trust God to see the nations changed and transformed by the power of God. And Dudley had this dream for church plants all over the world. And I felt clearly in the early 90s that God was calling us to plant a church. I thought it would be in Asia. Went there. We just didn't have confirmation of that. And God gave us an opportunity to come to Canada in 91 or 92. And while we were here, we clearly heard God call us to this nation. So 97, after getting all our ducks in a row, being trained and equipped more, and getting ready, I'm telling you, it was a five-year process, and I thank God for those 5 years. And although at the time I was so frustrated, I just wanted to go. But we arrived here and planted this church in our home, and I'm sure you've all heard, but for you, and we didn't know one Christian in the city, and so the first few meetings was me with a music stand, and my family sitting on the sofa looking at me, and that was it. And like I said, that was the easy part. The hardest part was trying to take him an offering from them. But we started. Daddy said, start how you want to finish. So we started on a Sunday morning with our family, and we even had a home group on a Wednesday night with our family. Try and convince your teenagers this is a good idea. But through that, Bob and his family, Bob Hancock's and his family. Bob, do you want to stand a little moment? I know many of you don't know him, but this man and his family were the first family to ever join this church. And they're still here, and I tell you, in those early days, often when we wanted to run away, we would say, but what about Bob? So, my role, and everything we do, and we have these roles, but they are worked in team. We work together, submitted to each other, learning from each other, but my role is to set the vision for Oceanside. That's our vision statement, and make sure that we stay on course in God. Make sure that it's clear. And to lead this eldership team, which is an amazing privilege. These guys, each one of them could lead in their own right. And for some reason, they submitted their leadership to mine. And it's a real privilege to see that as a church grows, so more leaders and elders will be raised up. And to give oversight to the preaching, where we're going, preaching, not necessarily preach everything, but with the help of Mark and others, we are going to be developing preaching teams and so on, so that when we not only are here, but when we send people, they're equipped to preach. To oversee the translocal work, which is the work that we do overseas. This is a base church, we see it as that, and so this last week I was in Penticton, met with five or six churches with some of the apostolic team, equipping them, and we do that all over the world. And so this is an apostolic church. It's a sending church. And you know, the wonderful thing is when I came here, because I travel quite a lot as God calls us to, and when I came here and speaking to the pastors, and telling them a little bit about some of what we saw with regards to going to the nations from Canada and me not being available, many of them said, without the lead guy there, the church will never survive. Well, do you know there's only one lead guy, and it's not me. It's Jesus Christ, first of all. He heads the church. And we were taught by Dudley to build away from ourselves. To build away. He would tell us as a young man, or Paul's age and younger, when I first came into this, if the church cannot stand without you, you have not built well. And so we built a strong team. And how many of you were here last Sunday to hear Mark preach? Man, I hear Mark preach and I think, I've got to preach next Sunday? What the heck? But that's how it should be. Deborah and I celebrate that. When we're away and the church grows and new people are added and the church grows, we don't feel threatened by that. We rejoice because we know our place in this church like everybody else. And we want every one of you to fulfill your call in this church, but in team. Understanding authority and working and under that. This is not a church for loose cannons or loose rangers. Lone Rangers, and we are very clear on what we believe. It's on our statement of faith, and I say this with all compassion and mercy that I can. If this is not the place for you, and please, I want all of you here. I'm the lead guy. I want you. But if this is not the place, trust God to put you in a place where you can flow with the vision, get behind what He's doing, and fulfill your call. Amen? We are one little church in the backside of Nanaimo. There are amazing churches in the city. I meet with the pastors. I love them. I honor them. But we want the ones that God brings us so that we can fulfill who we fulfill to be. And so sometimes people come in and they want to change us. And yes, we can make adjustments, but what we're always saying is come alongside us. Is this is your home, and get behind the vision, and let's go further and further and further. And if that's for you, I want to join you, welcome you on this amazing adventure. Amen? Amen? Amen. I don't want to stop this without Bernie and Ricky standing up. Can I say St. Bernie and St. Ricky? Without them, none of this happens. Russ's role is to oversee the administration of this church, the mechanics of the church. Thank you, God. I don't have to do that. Thank you. Amen. It's so bad that I almost have to have Russ text me on a Sunday to tell me it's Sunday. No, not that bad. But without them, everything we do, we say, we're going to do this. Organizing whatever we want to get. They've got to get on the phone. They've got to sort it out. They've got to make sure it's coordinated. And I tell you, it's a calling. And it's a ministry. And I want to publicly thank you both. You're amazing girls. And it's a privilege to be working with you. You don't get enough encouragement sometimes, but thank you so much. And so what I want to do now is we're going in the process. Connect groups are going to be a huge part of this church. And they are groups that meet during the week where you can live out your life in small community and come back. And I don't want to go into that, but we have a number of them going. We're trusting God for more groups and more leaders to step up so that we can increase and multiply our effectiveness. So if Andy and Camilla can stand up, or Camilla. Andy's at work. There's Camilla. She led us in worship. Why didn't you come here? Let me call you. Bill, Margaret, and Ricky. Bill, Margaret, and Ricky. Parents and Heidi. Johan and Ronell, Mark, Teresa, Bill and Amy, Drew, Malia, and Bernie. If you could all stand up here. And then we have focus groups. So if Paul can start. If we have the focus groups, one side, we'll just tell a little focus group. Women's Bible study. That's Katie and Glenn. Glenn and Katie, or one of you. Did you know you were doing that? They are now. Ladies 95, Bonnie and Dina. Mom's group, Allison. She might be with the moms, or not here. Allison Todd. Stepping Up, which is Wesley. Stepping Up is a group that Wes and I started for young, up-and-coming men. Well, young is a state of mind, so I'm part of that group. My wife will say it's never too late to have a happy childhood. So, Stepping Up is for young guys. We meet on a Wednesday night across the road, and we just discuss the things of God. Guys that want to go deeper, and like I say, it's open to anybody, really. Then we have the youth group, Supersonic Youth Group, which is Wes, too. And then we have Hope Center, which is Dane, is doing that. And that's a Wednesday night ministry downtown. And so I can't go into detail and giving them each a time to tell them what they're doing. But there is a pamphlet that tells you where the connect groups are. And the focus groups like outreach and all of those other things, they're all down that side. Connect groups, this side. So you work it out yourselves. But you're welcome. There's some more here. But I'd love you to be part of them. We're going to have clipboards at the end if you want to sign up for Connect Groups. We'll make sure that you're contacted. And so thank you so much, guys, for stepping up. I so appreciate it. And please be available. Please try and connect with one of these people at the end, and there will be connect clipboards for you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. I really wanted to take more time in that and let them share their heart, but time's up. Yeah.
Just one other huge important group of folk that are behind the scenes every single Sunday serving in the life of the church. And I'd just like to say, if you're involved in anything in the life of serving on a Sunday, whether it's in the kitchens or putting out communion or whatever, and you're here this morning, I wonder if you can just stand up where you are just for a moment. If anything, if you're involved in any kind of activity on a Sunday, if you can just stand up.
Anytime.
Folk, let's just give these guys a huge big hand. Huge big hand. That goes for worship. That goes for... Don't sit down yet. If you can just... One moment. If you don't mind just standing, just keep standing for one moment. So, folk, honestly, God's heart, this is the priesthood of all believers. And we're trusting by God's grace is that every single one of you, whether you're standing or sitting here in the life of this church or here because God has gifted you. And he's gifted you to not only serve in the week, but he's gifted you to be part of Sunday in coming and linking arms on the mission of reaching the lost in the city. And I'm trusting that by the time we do this next year, when we ask for those that are involved in Sunday to stand, that we're not going to see anybody seated. If you're new in the life of Oceanside Church, I want to say there is no course. There are things that you can do from the very day that you walk in into the life of this church, because from the day you walk in here, you are family. And family serve together. And so we just want to say thank you and bless you guys for what you do. And if you want to get involved in any way in the life of the church, please come and chat to Bernie or myself or somebody. We have something where you can be involved in on Sunday, and we'd love to have you part of that.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeez. That's a problem when you give everybody the microphone, eh? I just want us to focus the last few moments on New City Catechism, what we are launching here. Church, this is a critical part of the life of this church. When I saw it first a year ago, I knew that this is something that God would help us to disciple our people and train them. And so, there are 52 questions. And we're going to look at briefly, it's not long, the first question in the video, one per week. And we are going to, it's not a race to see if you could do 52 in 52 days. You missed the point. It's one question a week that we want to answer through what Tim Keller and his team have put together. Absolutely amazing. Some of the best teachers in the world are involved in this. The point of this is that to meditate daily on the one question, to ask God to show you more about it, and then to ask God, what adjustments do I need to make in order to work this out? It's speaking of doctrine. Now, doctrine is a word that people say is boring. You know, doctrine actually brings life, because doctrine teaches us about God. And you know, the more we know God, the more we understand God, the more we love him. Also, doctrine in a church is important because it puts us all on the same page. And so we in the Connect groups, they will be speaking about these things every week. Mark is there for some difficult questions that I'm sure will arrive. But we want to make sure that these catechisms are every week. We'll put up the question, and that will be the question for the week. So what is a catechism? Well, these things have been in the church forever and ever and ever, since the early church. And it was a way for the the leaders to teach doctrine in a way that was easy to understand and that they could memorize. So in New City, there's a children's app and there's an adult's app. And you, with children, you can do both. But Webster's dictionary about catechism, because you think this is a big word, what does it mean? It says a collection of questions and answers that are used to teach people about the Christian religion. These catechisms were memorized. So people would be asked, what is the question? They would know the question and they would memorize the answer. Remember, they couldn't read or write. And I think sometimes because we've got notebooks and iPads and everything, we've lost the art of learning scripture and memorizing the doctrines of the church. So I want to encourage you in 1 week to try your best to memorize these doctrines. And like I said, if you have questions, to bring them for us. So I just want to show you the first one and then we'll close out after that. So the first question. What is our only hope in life and death? That's the first question. What is the answer?
Isn't that helpful? Amen. So we're trusting that over this next year that God is going to take us from where we are today and grow us in maturity as we see these worked out in our various connect groups, as we see the question come on Sunday. There's lots of material. I want to encourage you guys, find the application online, whether it's on your computer, your iPad, or your phone, and let's dig into the Word. God wants us to know Him and to know Him well, hey?
Very good.
Amen. So we're going to release you guys for the day. Those with clipboards and signs that say, I connect, I'm looking for you. Somebody say, I connect.
I connect.
We are a community that connects. And if you're already part of a connect group, I trust you've heard from your leader. If you haven't, check your voicemail, check your email. You probably got a message. If you haven't and you want to go back to your connect group, please get in touch with your connect group leader. If today you're not part of a connect group, we want to see you connect. Find somebody with a clipboard and an iConnect lanyard. Give them your details and we will get you connected with a connect group. And if there is a group that you specifically want to be a part of, find that leader after the service and let us know. Mark it on the connect group sheet as you fill it out. Amen? Be blessed. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.